Do you think our next generation will be priced out?
Yes. Actually, that's the part of the reason why I want to buy two condo. If I want to go on block, I can leave a sum of money to help my two children if they really cannot make it. I mean, of course, I hope they can make it. But I think they will be priced out. Even people always say leasehold reduce in value, but you're living in Singapore where it's land scarce. I feel that's already out of reach for me. I feel lucky that I just kind of scraped through the last few batch to scrape through because I started young. But I think it will be out of reach for the young generation. And that's actually one of the other motivating factors why I started going. So at 18, I told myself that I want to have two houses.
Because yeah. you started with nothing. Alright, welcome to Nuggets on the Go, our banter series. Today we are very privileged to have Joanna and Jervin with us. George, Chewing, Alexa, they have just helped Joanna and Jervin last year in the year 2022. With their property plan. And of course, today they are here with us to share with us their journey as well as a lot of things that we want to chat about in terms of property investing, financial literacy, and many other things.
You
built 200 properties in Geylang?
No lah, 150.
Sorry. Wrong number.
150 whole Singapore. I tell you about finances, typical, no? Can see his brain. Dun, 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 shut down, emergency, bling, bling, bling. Don't talk to me about it.
Yeah. So, we work like a company.
Finance,
like HR operations is me. Yeah, so everything well run in the family.
Very important that the kids don't listen to me. Only listen to him.
So, Joanna, what's your financial background? What are you doing now?
So, I'm a financial controller in a branch of a listed company.
Right. Yeah. How long have you been doing this?
About 5 years.
5 years. Okay, yeah. Great. Then, Jervin?
I'm in the healthcare industry. So, I'm working as a retail pharmacist. At the same time, I also do consultancy to bring medical products into Singapore.
Right. So, you also have your own business?
Yes, correct.
Okay,
so, great. He's been doing business about what? 9, 10 years.
Nine, 10 years also.
Yeah. Right. So
we also have some challenges. Later we can share with you our financial challenges.
Yes. Sure. So why did you all decide to buy your first property at the age of 23?
Oh, me? Yeah.
I mean, are both of you the same age?
He's 1 year older.
Yes. And not in school.
We know each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So how are you?
I'm 40.
Right.
Yeah. We are around the same age.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so what happened at age 23? I mean, where do you guys decide to go for your first property?
Oh, okay. Because I started work at 15 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, so I always have friends who are like older than me, like 10 years older than me. Mm. So I work in, at 15, you do all those part-time jobs, like KFC, give out leaflets. You study in the school of life. Not the school of books.
School of hard knocks.
Yeah, school of hard knocks.
Right, right. Yeah. You started working part-time at the age of 15.
Yeah, 15 at KFC. Okay. So I do all kinds of stuff. Last time have leaflet, right? Last time I have leaflet. Have street peddling also have.
Yes.
Self-perfume, it's all true, very famous.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Self-perfume. Tuition, of course, they definitely give tuition. All kinds of stuff. Sell books, data entry, or time still at data entry.
Yeah.
So you started like all the part-time jobs?
All the part-time
15.
Jobs.
Okay.
So I do have friends who are staying in rental flat. So a lot of people don't know this, but in rental flat, right, if you are single, you have to share a space with another person. Yeah. So, and I saw how precariously they were living. You know, so they are like the mercy of your partner, you know, like sleeping habits, how clean they are.
Sharing as in with a stranger.
Yes.
Right.
So, okay. So a lot of people might not know this. I think it's still the same now. So if you are a family unit, let's say you are a father, mother and a kid, or you are divorced, you're one father and one kid, you can stay together in a one-room rental flat. But if you're above 35 and you are single and you have no so-called family nucleus, right, HDB renter will just assign you to any available bed space. Yeah, so it's not one bedder. Not one bedder condo. One bedder in the rental flat. So it's different. So you have to share kitchen, share toilet, share even that one bedroom with another person. So I realized that actually housing is very important. Yeah, having your own space is very important. So at 18, I told myself that I want to have two houses. Yeah. At that time, right, you can stay HDB. You know, last time we had ABSD, ma, if you can remember. You can. I wanted to have a HDB and then I wanted to rent out. I have one condo to rent out. So when I'm old, right, I can depend on condo for rental income. So that was 18. So when I was 21, I started work already. So that's when I was getting very serious about looking for a house. Yeah, because 21 is the legal age that you can buy a house. Yeah. So, All this, okay, but anyway, that's later. So, yeah, I started looking at, because 21 is still very young, right? So, I started doing the easier stuff, like looking at classifiers. You know, last time you had one box, 5 room dot, you know, COV dot, 100K dot, remember? Those era one. West side, yeah. So, I started with that.
Right.
Then I started with reading up on the articles. Yeah. Then I also have friends who are poly. So when I started work. So because you already have this kind of thinking, right? You naturally click with people who also wanting to look for flat. So I remember there was this colleague of mine who was actually from poly. So his girlfriend also from poly. His girlfriend at those era actually don't need degree. Last time don't need degree so much.
So you completed poly as well?
No, I was from Hwa Chong actually.
Right.
I went Hwa Chong, but I had this colleague who was from poly.
So you completed your uni?
I did all the normal things. I mean, I completed Hwa Chong. But I feel like I'm living a double life.
Right. Why is it a double life?
Because Hwa Chong people are quite rich. To be frank, yeah. Okay, first 3 months I was in ACJC. That one is a different level altogether. So, but Hwa Chong people are quite rich also.
Okay.
So, we have people who are like minister son, you know, or businessman daughter. Then their holiday is I go France, horse riding. That's my holiday. Wow, we are like wow, very far removed from that one bather. Rental flat concept, you know.
So your childhood, you grew up in which part of Singapore?
Actually, my childhood actually is quite okay material wise. Because both my parents, my mother worked, but my father he was quite unfortunate. He got retrenched quite a few times. Yeah, so they were always quarreling and they were always talking about divorce last time lah. So and at era divorce is a very you know taboo thing, not like now. So actually, you know the. Right. I think I don't know whether they told you. So my brother is yeah, he's something like you all like that. He definitely is much smaller in setup. So he runs his own freelance and then actually my younger brother.
Right.
So we actually appeared in one of these comics. That actually this year posted you can back in 2020 where how you overcome a recession, my father was retrenched, blah blah blah. And then actually my brother painted a more optimistic photo, comic where like you know my mother and my father was like how to say
in between jobs
like, you know we were encouraged each other. Actually not that like, it's very stressful so they were like quarreling and then divorcing and blah blah blah. So my brother was quite young so maybe he cannot remember but for me I felt wow, very traumatizing like, every day come and quarrel.
How old were you back then?
I think I was around 15 .
Okay, then you were living...
I was living them and they were always quarreling.
In a HDB apartment.
HDB apartment.
Okay. So in Jurong East, right?
Yeah. So I thought, okay, what are the options a 15-year-old have? Not much, right? The only option is to stay in a HDB one-room rental flat.
Yeah.
So you all were at a one-room rental?
No. I never stay.
Okay.
I never stay.
But she did her research. On the one room rentals.
Right.
So because she has this concern that maybe she'll be chased out of the house. So
after the divorce and
they nearly divorced by
nearly.
Because their era cannot divorce one.
Okay. It was like a taboo.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that time
when you fear sort of like going into that one room situation.
Yes. Okay. So every day they're quarreling every day.
Right.
Like a few hours quarreling. So you don't want to stay at home. So you go out and work, find a job.
Right.
Yeah. Then because calling about money, ma. Okay, now I go and find a job. Since you say that, you know, parents for Eva like to say, "Aiya, you know, what ah, 养你这么辛苦, 快点去做工 that kind of stuff lah,
快点赚钱
Yeah, because my mother started at 16. Yeah. So to her, you know, it's a different era.
Yeah.
So okay lah, then I go and look for a job. So once you start looking for a job, you know, people in KFC also not rich, right? Those who are working there, they are not rich. That's when I started, there's HDB one room rental flat.
Okay.
Then after you start finding out more, you go to their house and see, one room flat is like that one. Then I start thinking, maybe I can try this. Or I go back to my quarreling house, which is better. Then I look, this one still must pay money. Okay, never mind, I go back.
Okay. I got a picture. Okay,
yeah.
I understand.
So I never stayed there.
Right.
It's just that I had a lot of first-hand experience looking at it. And okay. I did a lot of research on it. Okay. I mean, Josh knows the amount of research I do for any kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And then your own family is always having that quarreling situation. Yeah. And then you just felt that you're a bit torn. Okay.
Yes.
At the age of 15. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Coming back to the part about you started work 21. Right?
Yes, starting 21.
And then, of course, you went to Hua Chong, completed your degree, now financial control. So you mentioned like at 21 years old, you started to get acquaintance with a couple of friends that are also interested in real estate.
Yeah, okay. So I always had this liking for property, right? Mm. And then I wanted to have my own house. So I told George once, first you must have the desire. Mm. So I have my own house. So naturally, when I started working, we have some casual conversation. So there was somebody, this colleague, like, we were like, wow, very sian. Then we started talking about, what's your plan? Then my colleague was telling me, I'm going to apply for property. Then I'm like, you're very young only there. You can, Can? Why cannot? So that's because his girlfriend started work at, Poly is what, 18 right, or 19?
Poly is 17.
Ah, so fast.
16 is sec form.
Sec form. Mm. Oh, 17, 18, 19. So she graduated, I think, 19 years old.
Right.
Or 20. Mm. The guy, I think, was also 23 at that time. So 3 years of working.
Mm.
So they can apply for HDB as well. Already, right. Because above 21 and a little bit of...
Was that a BTO?
They applied for BTO.
Right.
So then we started talking. Then I'm like, Because I always have this dream, but dream and you really applied, somebody that really applied is different.
Right. At such a young age.
Yeah. So I was like, how you do it? Then he's like, do you know that there's a plus? Because last time there is internet, but it's not so comprehensive like now.
Yes.
You really have to go and dig.
Correct.
And a lot of them are brochure that you need to go HDB.
Yes, connection very slow.
And so we started talking. Then he's like, do you know there is this low income grant? Then I'm like, got such thing one, low income grant. Then he's like, then there's low income grant, additional housing grant.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I can't remember a lot of grant. Then I'm like, then he said, well, honestly, also not that poor, if you're a degree holder. So then he said, they don't care one. They don't care about this. As long as the age that you apply, right, you're below the cap, right?
Yeah.
You can go for it. Then me and my colleagues, we're all finance, right? We are very good at accounting, ma.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells us, this is the best time to apply. Because they look at your last 12 years, last 12 months.
Last 12 months. Average salary. Yeah. Yeah. And you already were dating for how many years?
The time we know each other since 19 years old. La.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were
two uni days.
I think I met her at the MRT station. So that was.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
What, actually,
we were. MTV at that.
Yeah, it was quite MTV.
So it was like. Was it like the olden days that you go out, ask for a number?
No. He was my schoolmate. But we never talked to each other.
Correct. Yeah. Then what happened at the MRT station?
No, she was having a bad day at work because she started work early. I was finishing NS, so I just, we were at the same time when we were going home. Then she was quite worn out from work. So I just console her. Then we realized that she was staying across the street of my house.
Oh, yeah. But you recognize that she was from Hua Chong?
Yes.
Because we were schoolmates.
We were schoolmates.
Oh. Actually, we're the same CCA.
We don't really talk back then in school. Yeah. But after school, then I realized, and then she was, I met her outside of at the MRT station.
Right.
Then subsequently, then the best thing was she's living across the street. That could save
also
a lot.
Also at Jurong.
Also at Jurong.
Can save a lot of taxi ride.
Can save a lot of taxi ride. Can know the area very well. Yeah, dating will be much more cheaper. Cost effective.
Why was she worn out from work?
I think because she had a long
thinking
day.
Too much about property.
talking about the numbers, money, right?
Yeah. I think she was doing a lot of work
I think I was selling. Oh, I remember when I was at being a sales girl.
Yeah.
Oh,
Those times, you have to stay at your feet one whole day. One. Last time, no human right.
No, but you were working already.
In between starting, in between JC and starting
university.
Okay. You all met at 19. Okay. Yeah. So you were at Adelium as a
sales girl. Okay. Yeah.
So in NS,
was it Suntec?
No, I think it was CK Tang.
CK Tang.
Okay.
And those days, there's no human right one. You cannot sit down.
My
worst days was
already,
Marina Square. It was like an army. A joint. First month training at HQ, Marina Square.
Uh-huh.
cannot sit down.
Yeah, why? Yeah.
And within 60 seconds, they keep repeating the test. 60 seconds, you must clear the table and set up the table. You fail, repeat.
Oh my goodness.
Well, Tracy, leak power for next time for property viewing. It's a early training for what you do in the future.
Yeah, last time, it was a little bit like that.
Yeah. Last time, you cannot sit down. I can't even slouch. I can't remember what I call it. The mall manager walk around.
The secret shopper.
Huh? Yeah, I have.
Is that a secret shopper?
I think so. Yes. Yeah, those years. Yeah, those time. Right, 20 years ago, right? 30, it's 20 years ago.
20
then.
Years
oh my
ago.
God.
I was 30.
Yeah.
But that was how far you were planning for property back then.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was so you're mad at MRT. You were working part-time still.
Part-time.
Mm. Transiting to uni.
Yes.
Which uni do you go to?
NTU.
Yeah. And you studied finance?
Studied accountancy.
Accountancy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because accountancy is very good because she likes to count money and then it's good for financial planning in the future. That's why I thought she was the ideal person who helped to make sure that the funds are available at the right point of time in life.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So what happened? I mean, at the realization, right?
Then, yeah.
The HDB application.
Yeah. So actually at that time, you never think that you can really go and buy because it just looks so... I remember my university tuition fee was 24,000 and that number already looked so scary already. What more a few hundred thousand dollars HDB flat. So my friend... So actually, one good thing about being in finance, I think we are generally more... How to say? More calm and not emotional about money. Mm. So I met a lot of people who are rich, but they look at finances, their brain just shut down.
Mm.
Just then they can't think about it like calmly and objectively.
Mm.
So the my colleague sit down, actually, 我们可以的.
Mm. Yeah. Why do you think that is so? Just like I mentioned, some people who are maybe born with a more privileged background, but you feel that they're anxious looking at numbers.
Yes.
Why do you think that happens? But you feel that when you look at numbers, you are calm.
Yes, I think I'm calm.
Right.
Yeah. I don't get emotional. Yeah.
Right.
If I get emotional, no way I can execute too.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because, okay, I think definitely my background plays, definitely being in finance play a part. Mm. But I've also seen people who are in finance that they can handle other people's money. Akong's money, no problem. But handle their own money, they start panicking.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
So I think that one... okay, so the technical expertise definitely is from my job. They want no need to, it's definitely give credit to my job. Then the second thing of why I'm calm, I think it's because I started young at 15 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and you know the difficulties of earning money.
Yes.
So you know that, and you also probably you know that it can be earned.
Yes. Yeah,
with hard work.
Yes.
Mm. Just win the hard work hours, street smart. Or,
yes.
Okay.
And even if I feel right, never mind, I just go back to be a KFC worker. You know, that's not the worst.
Okay. Because you started with nothing. Always can 从新开始, right?
从头开始,
Okay, great.
So
then what happened with the BTO?
So my colleague, actually I think I never tell you this also. He's the typical
20
one.
20 years of secret and you didn't tell. You've been hiding from me.
I tell you about finances, typical, no? Can see his brain dun, 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 shut down, emergency, bling. Don't talk to me about it.
My mouth trained these days, okay.
Now he's better. Yes, last time we'll fight one. Last time open laptop ni, straight away the
So your approach as a couple is that? I mean, you all have been married for how many years?
Together for 20 years. Right?
Together for 20 years, yes.
Okay. From part-time until now.
Yeah. Yes, from part-time until now.
Okay, right. So just now you mentioned about the ding-ding-ding-ding. It's because when you talk about finances, usually you will settle at home.
Yes. Mm. He settled people.
The helpers,
parents.
Yeah.
你管钱,你管人.
Yeah. 对, so we work like a company.
Finance,
HR. HR operations is me. Yeah, so everything well run in the family.
Very important that the kids don't listen to me. Only listen to him.
Yeah. Oh, like the daily groceries I'll manage. She'll just look at the final P&L of the family.
Then you look at the inventory.
Yeah, correct. So she will inventorize. I'll make sure that it's stocked up. So that's my role.
It's very good teamwork, actually. Yeah.
Because my kids will sleep. No one.
Yeah, yeah.
Papa says, sleep. Wow. All like army at that. Straight away, run back a little bit. Wow, I feel very...
Two boys are
all. No, one boy, one girl.
Right.
Ah, especially the boy doesn't listen to me at all. Yeah. Very disrespectful.
Yes.
Boy is the elder one.
Yeah,
elder one. More naughty one.
Yeah, more naughty, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, Papa not at home, you know.
Right.
Yeah, Papa is not at home.
Yeah. So our structure is quite interesting as we really know where our strengths and our weaknesses are. Mm. So we come and complement each other. That's why when we are engaging in property, we already know what we can do and what she can do and what I cannot do. Mm. So actually at the start, right, why a lot of couples might quarrel during the journey, right, is because they do not know their personalities very well. Mm. And they all either are too much of the same kind.
Correct.
And then they want to make a lot of decisions on their based on their conclusions. Mm. But at the end of the day, because we know that we are different in our own views, that's why we can agree on a lot of things. And for example, like she's not good at aesthetics, so that's why she'll throw the aesthetics. So renovation, design and all these, I will settle everything.
Right. Yeah.
If not, she will have put the fridge in the living room. Because you say, it's more efficient. You take the milk open from the car and walk. You don't even walk into the kitchen.
This is serious. This is real.
Real.
Yeah, really?
Doing an original
flat design. The very ugly aircon trunking. I thought, okay, wow, practical leh.
Yeah. She was thinking that, you know, the recent news about the aircon trunking.
Right.
She said that it's very good. You can see the trunking, can repair it easily. The cost will be cheaper.
Maintenance is so easier.
If you have those inside the hidden one, they will be so costly. You take out everything and fix it, and it'll be a different cost. Yeah. But of course, you hide it, it'll be much better, right?
Yeah. So you settle all the aesthetic.
Yeah. So I'll be on the design part, aesthetic parts, and then more of the, human related things lah. Right. Now she will do all the costing, all the projections. Yeah. So like recently we also concluded our like quarterly projection, our cash flow planning. So we do regularly. Yeah.
Was that like you all do like a quarterly retreat or something?
No retreat at home, just using laptop, like a TV screen.
That's
and
then, myself.
That presentation.
Yes. I have the photo. Later I'll show it to you.
Oh my goodness.
You take photo about telling me some more.
Of course not. Then you look at the natural state of our house, how it goes. So she has a presentation. She have a screen on presenting you what the facts, the figure, how the money will flow within the next 3 to 6 months. Then you plan. Yeah. If in the future, if you want to progress, like what I say, to other investment properties, then we at least have the funds and know where we can stretch or not stretch.
Right.
So because end of the day, we need to know our position in our family. Whether the cash flow, whether I can continue to advance in other businesses, have any opportunities, I can approach her and say, oh, I need to do this business and this opportunity turns up, then could I invest in this? Right. Then she said, you know what, based on the family funds, we cannot do this because there are certain risks we need to mitigate now. Or there are some things like the interest cost we can mitigate also. Like, oh, well, no, interest rate is so high. Actually, maybe consider you can pay down our loan a bit more so that you can have more saving on interest payments. Then when the interest is back low, then we can take more loan. It really because we can remortgage it every few years.
Right.
So definitely we use the those situations to our benefit. Right. But it really takes a lot of effort to sit down and look at the numbers on the regular basis to see which is the best scenario.
Awesome.
So during our purchase and our property journey, right, every time, even since young, like 20 over years old, we do a scenario planning one.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. She do a scenario, she present to me. Because if I do, I'll be like, oh, I cannot. Cannot take it.
So what happened at the BTO stage when you share with Jervin about the plan?
Oh yeah, okay. Maybe I should backtrack on the colleague first, right? So my colleague actually he sit, I'm actually very lucky to meet him.
Mm.
So he sit down and tell me he bought, anybody got bought a HDB, I think 200K, our time 200K. Then he like, actually it's doable. Then he say 5% is this. But there's a shortfall, you know. Yeah, don't worry, you know. Then he took out the brochure. Wow, very classic. Those time. There's this AHG, additional housing grant.
Yes.
Low income grant and whatsoever. So, after we net off everything, just nice, we can buy.
The down payment.
Yes, that 5% down payment.
Mm.
Yeah, and then I remember there was a gap. So, I think you pay 2,000 first.
Mm.
And then you pay the remainder, like, I don't know, one, two, three months later. So, we got 3 months to save that salary out to pony up the extra cash.
Right.
Yeah.
And which BTO do you select?
Dawson. Skyview at Dawson.
Yeah.
Why do you decide to go for that?
Okay, so this one is both of us, we work together. So actually, I didn't want to choose. It might sound very strange now, but at that time, Skyview at Dawson was not my original
choice. What were
your
options back then?
Okay,
Punggol.
Limbang
Green.
Which year was that? 2009.
Yes.
2000.
At the year of select. 2009. Okay.
After the
It's about 14
brothers.
Years back.
Yes, after Lehman Brothers, correct.
After Lehman Brothers.
Yeah.
So that was it's a interesting year lah because there were like Punggol, there was BTO for Punggol, BTO for Queenstown, and where else do you have?
Limpang Green. See, up to now I can't remember.
So there were three options that we were looking at lah.
Okay.
Then we decide, but the ironic part is that we can only ballot for one at the moment, at one time.
Can ballot, that our time can ballot, keep on balloting, can.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, I'm the fat one, it's the feeling one.
Yeah, yes.
Then what happened? I mean, what do you select, Dawson?
Oh, I think we didn't get Punggol. We didn't get. Then I was like, ayah.
Yeah, correct. We didn't get
Punggol. Yeah, because that one is within my financial protection at that time. Then Mount Green, we also didn't get. Okay, so we got Skyview and Dawson. Then I was like,
and how much?
640,000.
I think the most important point you need to tell them is that we got the queue number was really good.
Oh, the queue number was really good. 35.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, really fantastic.
So I was telling her that, okay, the price, although you see, might be quite expensive, but how often do you get the queue number that's 35? 35,
yeah. Mm.
And then at 35, you can choose any unit, yeah, literally every unit that you want in that project.
So it was a 5-room back then?
Yeah. Oh, that one, oh, okay. That time, everybody was talking about 4-room. I said, no, we straight away go for 5-room.
Why do you have that mindset?
I want to rent out 2-room.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So back at 23, she already planned that my two rooms I will be rented out.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Then do you rent out?
Of course.
Yeah, rented out.
Yeah. So at that time, right, I already had the plan that I want to stay in master bedroom and rent out 2-room.
Mm.
So my husband was like, wow, this is very ridiculous, you know. I said, not ridiculous, really.
But 4-room also got 2. I mean, you can also do that, ma. But why do you decide?
Oh, actually, I wanted to stay in the dining room. Then I ran out of 3-room.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay.
Because she has a lot of scenario planning. So if that's the worst case, she lose job, everybody don't have income, that would be the most ideal situation that we rent out all 3 rooms. We still can cover mortgage.
Okay. And we still have extra income.
We still have extra income. Then we can slowly find job.
Right.
So every time we do financial planning, we want to, based on the worst case scenario where we don't have salary and don't have any options, then we can still survive.
Right.
And also not because worry. Both of us are from Odang, Outdoor Adventure Club. Mm. So when we are young, right, we actually go camping, this kind of thing. Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
So we can still
live in rough and tough one.
Yeah, so we felt like, not last time, not now.
Can rough it out.
Yeah, so we thought, okay, wow, there's a roof, there's toilet,
can stay in the tent. Better than in the tent, man.
Your Bunsen burner can really.
Yeah,
and the mess tin.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, like, because some families, they will feel very awkward to have like tenants living together.
Like what
them.
You said, ma, because right. I buy so chijia, ma. So I was like that last time. So I think this is an upgrade.
Right.
Then for my parents, we also rent out our rooms because my parents were not well to do. So we used to rent out 1 room.
I see. So you're used to it.
Used to having people in our house.
Okay.
Mm.
So the Punggol back then, that if you have gotten it, how much was that actually?
I think 200,000.
Yeah, so. About 250.
I think so, 4 room. Right. That one I can't remember. Yeah. Because that one, I think I applied when I was, that one's really for fun, I think. I think you applied when you're 21.
Yeah.
Very young.
So
even younger.
Would you mind sharing, like, at the point of application for the 640,000 Dawson, how much were you guys earning? Have you started work?
No. Zero.
Zero.
What were you doing?
I was doing pharmacy student, and I was on the last year of my course. Student.
Oh, how much were you earning back then?
I think 2,000
plus as a starting.
2,004, I think.
Then when you go for the 640,000, did your parents object?
No, we need to tell them.
Yeah, we need to tell them.
Okay.
We just buy.
Okay.
Joanna say can afford it, then okay. Then I'll just go.
Yeah.
Right. We're afraid like the installments and all that.
A bit, definitely there'll be a bit worry, but because I really wanted my own place so much.
Right. So you just say, okay, let's just
go for it.
Yeah, right. So she also shared that the worst case scenario, just rent out 3 rooms. We still in the living room, okay one.
Can cover one.
Then okay.
I have so much experience to get rent the
bed. Yeah. So,
how many years do you waited?
Wow, very long time.
Yeah,
6 years.
6 years.
Mm. And you got a place in 2015. Yeah. So 5 years later, which was 6 years later, 2022, you sold the place.
Yes. Correct.
Right. And on hindsight, if you look back, have you regretted going for Dawson versus Punggol, or you find that it was a fantastic choice?
Actually, I really think it's not what you get, but what you do is what you get. So let's say I get Punggol, things are cheaper, I pay out my house earlier, I save 50K on interest. Yeah, 50K, and you sell, maybe, okay, because you waited very long for the house. So I think Punggol was, balance of sale, right, if I not remember wrongly.
Right.
So I can straight away move in already.
Right.
At 21, I move in. But very young there. 21, if I can get, I move in. 21. Then 26, I am MOP already. I sell. That time, the condo price are very cheap.
As in resale, huh? You
sell a balance flat.
Okay.
I think, if I didn't remember wrongly.
Punggol was a sale balance.
I think so. I can't remember, but I think.
Because MOP could have been much earlier.
Yes.
Okay. So if you can go back, would you have went for a sales or balance or resale versus a BTO?
Well, if I can go back in time,
to 21 years old. I mean, now with the knowledge you have, okay, maybe just share with our audience, like, how many properties do you own now?
We have 2 condos now.
One 3-bedder in Queens, and one 2-bedder in Sims, above Oasis.
And you already, just now you planned at the age of 18, you already visualized you want to have 2 properties.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so we'll need to talk about that
later. Okay.
Yeah. My original plan was one HDB and one condo. Because during that time, it was possible to buy without ABSD.
At the age of 18 years old?
I wanted to buy one HDB and one condo.
Where do you learn that information from? At the age of 18, when you're still studying?
Oh, because my parents also did that. My mom is... I think she's really fantastic now. Because my mom is those era where no 重男轻女. So she only like studying until sec 4. And sec 4 not even O level. No, like, don't know fail how many times. But she had the gumption and the to go for condo. Yeah, and during that era, actually you just need to put the down payment.
Yep.
Then after that, everything is covered. No? And you still have cash left over.
Like 90% loan and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That, like 1980s, you can, or 1992, I think she can buy Park West if you want to know. Yeah. So she bought Park West. And
was staying in Jurong East HDB.
She was staying in Jurong East HDB. Oh, my mother's an accountant also. Maybe that's why I won't follow her. Yeah, but anyway, my mom is also very good with finances. So she don't have the training, she don't have the degree, but she's very good in numbers.
Right.
Just naturally.
Right.
Yeah. And then my mother started work at a young age also.
Okay.
So maybe that also. They actually have a very long leeway compared to the youngsters nowadays. You know? Because she started work at 16 and full-time job. Not like me, it's a part-time job. So 16 is really like our 3,000, 4,000 equivalent back in those days. So by the time she bought at 36, it's 20 years. They have 20 years runway to save for a cheaper house. It's doable for their time. So it must reflect that era. I mean, you must adjust for the condition of that era.
Right.
So I had the mindset to do that, to have one HDB.
Because you saw her doing that.
Yeah, I saw her doing that. And because...
And she rented out her Park West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you saw that, you sort of had that visualization, I also want to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I saw that you have like a lot of newspaper clipping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do you keep all this?
Why? Okay. Yeah. So I monitored the property for very long, the property market for very long. So I remember when Duxton came out, right? 2004. How old was I? Okay, I think less than 21. So it was launched at 400K. And people were complaining that it was expensive. Yeah, so I kept all these things to show the government, to show the MP.
When they're doing their house visits.
Yeah, election time. Right.
Because imagine that we were graduating and we had to buy a 600 over K
HDB flat
in Queenstown. And that was when we bought that, it was an old estate.
Right.
At that time it was an estate nobody wants.
Yeah, because it was the aging estate.
Yeah.
Before the rejuvenation,
we were literally the first guinea pigs for the estate.
Oh.
Yeah. So then there was no amenities, and then they were, there was the rundown
bowling alley.
Yes.
It's very rundown, got mold. And then when you are, maybe you all don't know, but when you go inside raining, the plaster will start falling down.
Yeah. There's no shopping mall. The nearest probably IKEA, that's all.
The bowling alley has a hole inside one. Because my friend said she bought halfway, suddenly the bowl stopped, the bowling ball stopped in the center because two rundown, there's a dent inside.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So back then was a very not a good place to stay in Queenstown because there were not many support. And imagine there was no childcare because nobody, I mean, it was an aging population there, so no childcare center would want to open there. So, but then of course we got a BTO ballot, then we decided to just apply for it at an expensive price of 600K.
Right.
And that was exorbitant because if we were bought all the other Pongos, we could have easily paid half the price of it. And then, but we decided to take the risk.
I was worried that I cannot get a queue number again.
Yes.
And if you reject a queue number, they'll automatically put you at the back of the queue.
Correct.
And those days were like those era that there's not enough launches. In fact, we are the first batch that encountered the shortage of HDBs. So the boomer generation were like, you know, okay, why did so much things for us? Why are you complaining? You know, so that was that era. And then there were not enough flat launches. It was just after, it was not too far off from that 2002 crisis where there was oversupply.
Right.
You know, the Hong Kong where they anticipated. Correct. So I think 1 year only two launch, you know.
Yes. Yes.
So if you miss that launch, that's it. You have to wait for another year.
Yeah, it was very bad.
So it was
also the era of very high COV. Ma.
Yes, 100,000.
Which is why you didn't even think about going to sale.
No.
Right, because it was the old policies, right? You have to do valuation report and COV was so high.
Yes.
I told George, I think I told you that I went for a Tampines resale flat.
Oh.
To view. And then it was second floor facing those old dustbin, you know, those dustbin, and just like got that smell coming in. And then it was very run down.
Yeah.
Then the seller tell me very high price really. Then plus on top of that, COV of 10,000.
Mm.
Yeah, for 10,000 for newly, I mean,
it's a lot of money.
I think I told her, go and fly kite. Just go and fly kite. Something like that.
Yeah.
Lay all the figures and facts back to him.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the only one resale you went.
Yeah, only. I went about him.
Yeah.
I went by myself.
Yeah, it's a hobby, so she can just.
I think you'll find it too tiring, too intense, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was our initial decision, and then we decided to buy the HDB.
The BTO.
The BTO and also.
Because the resale was not.
No way. Because even for BTO, 5% already such a high hurdle to pass. You have to put in all the low income grant and whatnot.
Mm, right.
Yeah.
I think even if we miss that opportunity, there will be a next cycle. So I think that we decided on that because we don't want to miss out on the timing also.
You don't want to wait anymore.
Mm. Wait anymore, yes. Mm. And okay. If we wait, it could be a bad ballot because we got 34. They were telling her, imagine next time we get 1,000, that'll be like, oh my god, if we miss out on the boat of getting this place, that'll be even worse. Mm. Yeah.
So you're back then you all were already very sure you want to get married already.
No, I think we were trying out everything, but we were quite compatible lah. So we decided that we were quite compatible in a business partnership. Yeah, at least, yeah.
It's a risk.
So in life, I think it's a risk. So I think we are taking this risk for 20 years.
I mean, in Singapore, there's always this like mantra, right? That BTO then first, equates to RM later.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this now? I mean, like after like being married, being together for 20 years, right?
Mm.
Is should a young couple today BTO first, then RM later, or they should be very sure about the marriage first and then BTO later. In the sense that they shouldn't let the Because BTO, some people say that they shouldn't let the BTO be a priority above the marriage. Mm. Like don't, because you want to get a BTO, then you go and get married.
Yeah.
Be very sure you want to get married, then you go and apply BTO. So what are your viewpoints?
Okay, so I have, for us, it worked out.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would think for our circumstances, our family background very well, actually.
Mm.
But I have friends who didn't work out well.
Mm.
So a lot of them, they forfeit their deposit.
Right.
So I, personal opinion, I think the whole system should be revamped.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's not fair for... I mean, times have changed. It's not like last time, you know, our grandparents' time, they never see each other, they get married, that kind of thing. You know? Those olden era, or even our parents' era. Like, now this era has changed a lot.
Mm.
So I think, you know, because because of the fact that you have that BTO, then you pay everything really when you're... So yeah, it's a lot of money. And then you, like... kind of force yourself to be the wrong person.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it should be revamped. I thought why the government cannot do things like rental homes for the young. You know, like standard IKEA rental homes where the young can rent at a cheaper price or special price. Then they can have their family there and their starter home there and whatnot. And then this rental home, the amount they pay to the government, government not to a private person, government. And then this can be converted into equity. The money can be rolled forward to like some kind of deposit. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah, later on. That's my personal view.
Okay, so based on what you're saying, you say that, okay, if a couple were to get a BTO, but during that waiting period, 5 to 6 years, you feel that it could be a strain to their relationship because they're living apart. Where do you guys live in when you're waiting for 6 years?
She lived in my parents' place for a while. Then she got a job to posting to China. So that's why it was actually quite useful for us because she only stayed a short period of time in my family.
Right.
Then subsequently, right, then she got a posting with China. So
did
she
you
got
go to, together?
Yeah, no, separate. Again, separate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was actually one of the ways we solve our housing issues. Because if my parents were also in a old 5-room flat, but also quite cramped because my siblings are still in their flat also.
Mm.
And honestly, nowadays, no woman want to stay in their in-laws one.
Yeah.
To be very frank about it.
Could be a strain.
They rather wait for the house and then have their own place first, then they start getting married, have kids. That's the reality now.
So would you think that in the viewpoint of relationship, if let's say the separation for 5 to 6 years, like or maybe like just bunking with each other's parents' home for the weekends, right, over the next 6 years, if it would cause a strain, would it be better to just go for a sales or balance or resale, like immediately then can move in then? What's your point of view?
Yeah, actually, if I have money, I'll go for resale.
Yes.
But I know money, so I have to wait for BTO.
Correct.
Right.
Because resale is better because then we can move on with our chapters, our life. For example, having kids and all this. Because it's not very conducive to have a family with your parents-in-law.
His friends divorced.
Yeah.
Separately divorced.
Yeah. Mm. So it could be a bit harder lah to have your family, especially if you've got more kids, need more space, then space constraint is an issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So like coming to today, right? I mean, just now we talked about the articles. Like it's like a repeat telecast.
Yeah.
Of
yes.
Repeat telecast. Wow, I love this statement.
Right. Yeah. So what do you think about the real estate prices today? If you talk about private properties as well as HDB, right? What do you think about it? And later we want to dive into your thought process of what you did last year by restructuring your portfolio because you sold off your Dawson for about 1.2 million.
1.2, yeah.
Right? Then you move on and then you invested in two private properties. Yeah. So like let's talk about the prices today. Do you think our next generation will be priced out?
Yes.
What is your
actually
I mean, from 2009 until today?
Actually, that's the part of the reason why I want to buy a two condo. So because I also didn't, okay, this is a separate topic altogether, but I didn't go for freehold, I go for leasehold because I feel that the renter can cover. And then hopefully if I want then go on block, I can leave a kind of a sum of money to help my two children if they really cannot make it. I mean, of course, I hope they can make it, but I think they will be priced out. So I hope to at least help them. Yeah, because I feel that the land space, the even people always say leasehold will reduce in value, but you're living in Singapore where it's land scarce. So you can, let's say I compare to my helper, she's freehold, she's in Indonesia. Is the land valuable? No. So I feel that I feel that it will be out of reach for the next generation. I feel that's already out of reach for me. I feel lucky that I just kind of scraped through the last few batch to scrape through because I started young. But I think it's out of it will be out of reach for the young generation. And that's actually one of the other motivating factor why I decided to go for two. Yeah.
Right. So when you got your keys for your Dawson in 2015, 2016, then for the next 6 years, y'all have children. You rented out two rooms.
Yes.
How did you build your finance to prep for last year?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think the fundamental one was to make sure that our liabilities are well covered for. So the initial decision that she convinced me to rent out two rooms and share with other people.
Wow, very nice, convinced.
Yeah,
what do you screaming and shouting at you.
what do you do with the the room rental monies like that you collected over the 6 years?
So the room rental money we mainly used to number one, we didn't use our CPF money
at that time
to pay the mortgage payment. So in fact we took the money from the room rentals and then we paid the mortgage.
Why didn't you want to use your CPF money?
Because at that time CPF interest rate is 2.6, I think. And then bank interest rate is 1.7 or less than 1%. So it makes sense not to touch your CPF.
Yeah. Correct.
So you rather leave your CPF in an OA to build the interest.
Yes.
Right. And then you took a bank loan.
No, at that time we still took a HDB loan. Yeah, because at that time I was a bit young, so I was afraid that, you know, one day if suddenly I cannot pay, then the bank will chase us out, but HDB will not chase us out.
Right.
But actually on hindsight, I should have been more aggressive and go for bank.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bank loan.
Right. But your top person was like, okay, I use cash because anyway, cash I leave in the bank, I only earn very little interest.
If you're not investing.
Yes. At that time, now this strategy doesn't work. It's opposite.
Yes, it's the opposite, correct.
Right. So you use the room rental money to pay for the installment.
Yeah, pay for the installments and also the utility.
How much was the installment for yours?
1,500.
Okay. So you cover everything.
Yes. Yeah, so one room can probably get about 800 to 900 around that range. So definitely it's more than enough to cover.
Right.
Yeah. So that will actually cover our baseline of concerns of not being able to pay our bills and also not being out of job. So that at least we have opportunity.
In fact, we renovate the place, knowing that we want to rent out. That's a very important thing.
Yeah, correct.
Because when we get a flat wire from HDB, right? Or we're going to rent out, so we're not going to renovate. Whatever we take from HDB, we just take.
Right.
Then we just do the most basic stuff because
kitchen cabinets.
Yeah. If they're not messed up, never mind, a very cheap one. Wait for them to mess up. Mess up. Then I have an excuse to build a new one.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
So actually, that's a very... Actually, you must start. You must... Before you do anything, you must plan.
Angle.
Don't be emotional.
Yeah. So a lot of people, when they see me, right? Because at that time, 900... Actually, there was one time we rented out for 1,000 for one person. And this person is paid for by company. He only in Singapore 20 days a year, not a month. Right. So they started getting very excited. I think I should rent out also. But they look at their reno, so beautifully done. Then they don't want to rent out.
Yeah.
So actually
and
you
your
must
friends,
so you must start, right?
No, but we didn't spend a bomb on the renovation.
I think it's terrible. terrible. No? Mm.
So how much do you spend on renovation in total?
I think about 20,000 on
No,
15,000. 15,000 on renovation.
This is just cabinets. And
yeah, just cabinets. We don't do anything built in. So nothing. Actually, when we were designing our place, right, we decided that there will be no built in any build. Because in fact, sometimes some tenants don't want some things, right? So we can move out all these things.
Right. So when you took your keys, were you excited?
Of course. Well, very happy.
Finally, you got your keys. Right? Okay. Then, once you took the keys, right, when, at which year, or how long after living in your BTO, that you start to plan for your next move?
I
think quite immediate.
Yeah, quite immediate.
So you all told each other, 5 years later, we'll sell?
No. Because at that time, the ABSD was only 3 or 7%, I can't remember. So it still makes sense to stay, because if you sell, you still have to renovate. And blah blah blah.
So your intention was to keep
all the way
HDB.
And buy one more.
Yes,
and
buy one
pay
more.
The ABSD.
Yes. Correct.
And then fully pay this house.
Yes.
Then take a loan for the next property.
Yes.
Full loan. Okay. So that was the initial plan.
Right. So plans change, ma. So I always tell people when market condition change, you have to change also. But some people, you tell them one thing, then they are very
fixated
on this part one. Yeah. When things change, they cannot change. Then they'll say, hey, last time you tell me this. So things we did all the sums. Yeah. Then I at first, when ABSD was first implemented, it was supposed to be a temporary measure. But all I see is ABSD is just going up and up and up. Correct. So I told my husband, we need to change plan. We need to start something. So you need to start building out your research first.
Right.
So 2018, we went to look at Margaret View. So three years after we moved in, because I had a kid, so kid, you don't have time to go and do all these things. So 3 years after we moved in, we started. I say, I'm not asking you to sell, but I say go and do a research first. Yeah. So if agent come and tell you all the nonsense, right? You can, no, it's not like that. It's like this. Yes. Yeah. So you must do your research.
Then you know who are better agents or
something. Yeah.
If not, they tell you all the smoke and you cannot differentiate who's really the real good ones and the not good ones.
Right. So you started a research 2018.
Yes.
3 years after you move in.
Yes.
Okay. And then what kind of plan do you have in mind back then? While you're still busy with your work, right? You're starting
kids,
to build your family.
Yeah,
because I think a lot of families, while they are busy with their daily work, building their family, bringing kids for lessons over the weekend, and Singapore is, sometimes
stress.
Can be high stress, right? Yeah. Demands of work, transportation, cost of living, your car and all that kind of stuff. Then how do you get that discipline to start planning?
So I told him he had the car last time, long time ago, when we bought I think during the Lehman Brother crisis. After that, anyway, we go out for it very cheap. So I told my husband, okay, we give out the car. At that time, people look at us differently, like, what happened to you?
Your friends?
Those friends, real friends won't do that, but those friends,
so they will tap you, lah.
Or they test you. We're going for wedding, ma. That time,
you still haven't got a car.
Yeah, I say, don't care what people think. The facts is, doesn't make sense to buy a car when we are staying in Queenstown.
Yes.
We are
like centralized
area. And ride sharing was cheap.
Ride sharing was free. Even
$5.
Uber and all that.
After the discount is free. So it's cheaper than bus.
We had a weekend to do cost analysis of having a car and doing the just to use Grab sharing, right? Actually, even if you spend $1,000 on Grab sharing, which you can cover all your travels, it'll still be cheaper than your monthly mortgage, the payments for your car loans and even the car park. So, because generally you need about $2,000 to maintain a very basic car. She did 1 month of Grab every day. She just showed me $1,000 can cover
everything.
$500. $1,000 is a very stretched one.
So now you're Grab.
Yes, now we Grab.
Mainly we take public transport. And because we got used to it.
It's so centralized, right?
Centralized. So once you start familiarizing yourself with all the MRT routes and all that, And last time, don't have handphone. No, you can watch handphone while waiting for stuff. You don't feel like, you don't feel like, wow. You
listen to podcast.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, your podcast.
Now, maybe somebody is listening to you now on the public transport.
And then car is a liability, to be honest. Yeah. Whereas the property is an asset. You can grow up.
Yeah, then I remember now why I didn't want a car. Because you'll fight over, hey, your turn to send for
something. Yeah, exactly.
Your turn.
Your turn to drive. My turn to fetch you.
There's a lot of pain. Your turn to wash the car. Last time no meat, man. Your turn to wash the car.
Right.
Yeah. You see, the time you eat, now the cockroach come out already.
So it's actually much better.
So you give up your car in the year 2018?
No, before that.
Before that.
2015, we give up.
Oh.
Because just nice the
video came.
Yes.
Just nice BTO came. Just nice our car also expired at the same time.
Okay.
Just nice the Uber also came out. Okay. So actually for us to give out a car was very easy.
Okay.
Because the Uber, free Uber came out at the right time.
Right. So just now when I asked a question like, what gave you the discipline to start planning for next property? The car topic popped up because you feel that this is one of the thing that you sort of like discipline.
Lifestyle that allows you to
save.
Because a car, you end up the expense of the car actually is enough to put down the deposit for a condo. Then after that, it's all tenant pay. I mean, you have to top up a little bit.
Right.
Actually, the car costs over a long period of time, like 10 years, right? It's enough to pay that for
condo. And the car is only for 10 years.
Yes. Yeah, after that, it's zero.
Right. But condo is 90 over years.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Then how did the planning took place over the next couple of years? So plan for two properties, like all the way from 2018. Maybe for the context, right? You bought a place at 640,000. You sold it for 1.2 over million, which was 2022. So from 2009, you applied.
Yes.
Then got your keys 2015, 2016.
Correct.
2015.
Yeah.
March 2015.
Sold in 2022. At the point of selling, how much was your outstanding loan?
Actually, zero.
Zero. We paid up.
You paid everything already?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, we had a little bit, like 24,000 or so, but.
And you used zero CPF?
No, we had used CPF.
For the stamp fees and all that. Yeah,
at the beginning.
But the installment is
that's something I don't like about HDB. They force you to use CPF. I remember arguing with the counter person, like, why must I use CPF? Why can't I use cash? Why don't I use cash? So cannot this government rule?
Yeah.
I mean, they will clear off all your CPF.
Yeah, why? Why is my CPF? Why can't I decide how to use it?
Right.
Yeah.
So they force us to use CPF. So okay.
Yeah. So all along, right, when we had cash, we just used to pay out our loan. Because Joanna did a simulation that at the end of the day, if it's...
Which is very boring.
Yeah, which is
so from 2009 until 2022, both your CPFs build up a lot.
Yes.
Mm.
That's where we felt that it could be the basis of how we buy property. Because eventually, if we decouple, we would use that our as a CPF. Basis to help us.
Because I think for the purpose of our audience, a lot of people don't know about this thing called the CPF accrued interest.
So
maybe just to share with our audience is that the moment you use CPF in your property, your CPF stops earning interest from your ordinary account.
Yes.
And it starts absorbing interest from your future sale price. Because whatever that you sell in future, you need to pay back your original amount that you use plus the accrued interest. Actually, this accrued interest is coming from the total price of a property and you have to put it back. But of course, if you have used cash and provided in the economy you couldn't get good interest for your cash, then you should let your CPF build up using that OA account interest, which was what Jervin and Joanna did, right? But of course, that's how you mentioned today's context is a bit different because now cash can earn more interest outside, right? So you should like sort of reverse it in a sense.
Yes.
Okay, so at the point of selling, 1.2 million fully paid, then both a CPF OA build up, and that's how it allows you to go up for two prior property, right? And I think going back to the topic about Singaporean, most families with children, young kids working, both husband and wife working, right? Then sometimes we get stressful and we forget to plan. And then we just go through the daily life. And maybe by the time you just realize, hey, I'm 40 years old already, I forgot to plan. So do you have you come across friends
or
maybe acquaintances that they didn't really invest the time in their 30s or late 20s? And today, what do you see? I mean, like now that you have successfully transited, right? What do you see in terms of like this real estate path? Like a lot of people still very fearful to make that step to sell the HDB, or do a lot of people still have a lot of misconception that I really want to keep my HDB? Like what is your viewpoint? Like, do you think if husband and wife have the ability, they are earning okay, they have savings, is it beneficial to keep the HDB or is it more beneficial to actually make a move while you're still young?
Actually, I think this really depends on the person. Mm. What is their risk profile, what they want in life.
Right.
Some people, they just want to stay in their own house forever, feel safe, feel comfortable. Yeah. Nothing wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. But for those who aspire, how come people can do it, they don't do it. Then they just sit down there. Then I think they should sit down and plan properly.
Mm.
So I had a colleague, he's earning a lot. One day, he earned 300,000.
Mm.
1 year. Okay, so he earned enough for his wife not to work. Housewife, full-time housewife. Mm. But he haven't paid out his flat yet. HDB flat, 200,000. Why?
Mm.
I don't understand. I really don't understand. Early 50s, earning 300,000 a year.
Mm.
HDB flat, 200,000. Not paid up yet. Mm. What are you doing actually? Yeah, I mean, I didn't say that to him, but I'm like, what are you doing?
Mm.
So he said, he's very busy with life. You know, because his job also travel. So, very busy. And then he just never think about it. Then he said then he tell me that condo is a 1.something million. It's a very huge
big amount.
Whereas he go and buy a car, I don't know what he bought, I can't remember, Lexus or Mercedes, 200,000 SUV. He feels it's more manageable. So this is what I mean, prime example of feel this, feel that versus sit down there and do the Excel out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was telling him that, you know, you are 50 plus years old. I don't know. I mean, I assume that your HDB loan is stretched out 30 years. You look at the amount of interest that you pay.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, okay, I realized one simple thing about the CPF accrued interest, right? Simple thing, go and download your CPF statement every year.
Mm.
I tell you, a lot of people want to do it. Man.
Correct.
They open their CPF, they feel stressed. Then you should see their handshake. Then you see their head mentally closed down.
Yeah.
And that's it really.
I used to be like that, but Joanna forced me to become more calm. Yeah. So I have now the ability to look into my CPF accrued interest.
I see people shake, you know. Really.
Right.
Go into their CPF account. I say, just log in.
Right.
Just log in, see the number. I say, I don't need to look. Just say, you just go in, log in, see your number. Then you just see where you stand. That's all.
Mm.
Nobody asking you to buy or sell. Just see where you are. It's like your own health. Like, go and check up. Don't want. Yeah. So I feel that just a simple step of logging into your CPF.
Mm.
Then you can see the numbers. Then you see, my accrued interest so much. Then from there, you start thinking, I got interest. Then you start thinking, if I pay my house CPF, that's my accrued interest is gone.
Right.
You know, but so I think before you even go into accrued interest, so complicated step.
Mm.
First step, please go and log into your CPF
and
see your interest first. That's more important.
Yeah. Do a financial health check.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so how would you plan for somebody that is in a similar situation as your friend that you mentioned, like 300,000 a year, or maybe 150,000 spouse is 150,000 combined 300,000. HDB bought at about 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
How would you plan for this family to own a private property if they want to?
The caveat is if they want to.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with
having
a HDB apartment all the way because some people have alternative sources of investment. Right?
Shares, like dividends, they prefer, and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's based on preferences. Real estate is one vehicle. Mm. Yeah. So how
totally
would,
agree.
Yeah. How would somebody
okay, for somebody who wants,
I think we start with a habit first. Because for us, right, initially I was the one who is very resistant to all these changes.
So you wanted to keep the HDB?
Yes, of course.
You want to keep the car also, buy car.
Keep the car. I'm a normal Singaporean who wants to have the 5 Cs, you know, have a good life. But then again, Joanna has proven to me that, you know, that it's better to be prudent and also better to be habitually looking at your numbers and then also revise your plans.
Mm.
So for someone who has been in that phase before, actually the first step is to start a habit.
Mm.
Like for us, we do a regular update on our finances, that we look at our own external spreadsheets and then also know our financial status. So the first thing she made me do is to download my bank statement every month.
Yeah.
I think that is the first step we all need to do, because then we know our financial health.
Mm.
How much are we spending? How much is the reality of our real expenses on the day-to-day and the monthly basis?
Mm.
Then we know how much money that we are having left for in further investments or even property investment.
Mm.
Then the next thing, of course, then your next step would be the CPF statements, that we need to know how much accrued interest we are paying. And because that was the thing that she convinced me to pay down the loan.
Yeah.
Is that
he was very unhappy.
Yeah, of course. Because you're taking away liquidity from us. Right? Yeah. The first thing normal people...
Money,
No, I cannot buy my laptop. I cannot buy my car. You know, cannot go for fanciful holidays, but then
you
say
on Facebook.
You can't post on Facebook, then we go Instagram nice places. You cannot. Because there's nothing to post. I mean, you buy a property, there's really nothing to post. You know? So that's of course yeah. that but then that was the phase
so
of
you like, didn't believe in paying down your house?
No.
No, of course. Okay. Everybody's paying down for 30 years. Why would I need to pay down?
No, why do you believe in paying down your house and not stretching it?
Because there's accrued interest, ma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This I thought this is a like basic fact. I realized it's not basic fact. Mm, yeah. Yeah, because I'm I'm a finance by training. Mm. So I download all my statement every week last time.
Right.
Yeah, very intense. Every week I download. Mm. Every month I look at my interest. So every month I look interest from bank even last time.
Right.
I started out with, actually the concept is the same. Mm. Although the amount is very small, but the logic and the concept is the same.
Mm.
Then I said, hey, yeah, I think my CV also has interest.
Right.
Then I compare, hey, I'm losing on this.
So
if you, okay, so put it very bluntly, if you put CPF money in the bank, I can't pay for your interest.
Mm.
If you sell, if you use CPF to pay for your own house,
you pay your own interest.
Yeah. It's such a...
So do you pay down your house using your CPF or your cash?
Cash.
Okay. Mm. So how much interest do you save after you... Well, when do you pay down your house?
Actually, we still had interest. Now. First 5 years was not so good because...
You only paid out during the last...
Yeah. Yes. First 5 years, at least still 50K, you see. Even for... even for 2.6%, 300K, you already incur 50,000.
Mm. First 5 years, as in what, the waiting period? Or the,
No. The first 5 years, we're living there. Yeah. Because we're...
So you left last 2 years, then you...
Yeah, because you're right in a way. You know, you're so busy, got kids, job, in-law, and this and friends, and you also cannot be looking at house every day, right? Mm. So the first... At the time you get the keys already, wow, like milestone unlocked, wow, very tired. So we just left it in there. And then we had the rental to cover.
Mm.
So in a sense, we're not that aggressive to go and
just let it automate.
Yeah, automate. Okay. Then after the 5 years, pandemic, nothing to do, ma.
Yeah.
Cannot go anywhere, right? Mm. Even save time and commute, right? Then I'm like, you better look at this, wow, then I start getting angry. Wow, yeah. ping 50,000 for nothing, you know.
I think the shocking part was that we realized that our principal didn't change much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means we all along have been, you know, paying interest.
So HDB loan.
HDB loan. So I told him, don't waste time, just pay down interest. Correct. Just pay down the amount.
Because a lot of times, right, for every time we think that, oh, we're paying 1,005 every month to finance the loan, right? Mm. But if we didn't realize that most of the time it's not to the principal.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe me.
Yeah, normal Singaporean didn't realize.
I need you to teach me how to convince him. Yeah.
Yeah. So she convinced me by opening, see, you see how this is still how much principal you have left owed to the CPF, you know, or owed to the HDB. Then I was like, oh my God, I've been paying consistently 1,005 every month.
You all had that cash lah to pay off.
Yeah, but he don't want to pay off. Yes. He got the cash, but he don't want to pay off because emotional. Pay to other people, feel hard pay, cannot.
Somehow have to sell the car.
Yeah, somehow then all these things they liquidate. Then
very painful.
Should I go and pay the bank?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So because to us, right, to normal people like me, we want to have liquidity or hand in case something happens, you know. But Joanna convinced me that, you know, maybe you just need to save 6 months to a year kind of emergency funds. It's actually more than enough.
Mm.
Then we realized that after saving on the car and a lot of things that we are saving on, right, we could actually have that liquidity.
Okay.
So this excess, we could actually just pay, even if we pay 100,000 or 200,000, right, it would actually go down to reduce our monthly interest payments.
Mm.
Actually, then Joanna convinced me that it's an expense. Why are you paying somebody else? Whereas this money, long-term wise, although you don't see it, but it's actually an expense to you.
Mm.
Then this is how you start to build your wealth. Because every dollar you save, it becomes your next capital, capital for your next investment, which is our property. Mm. So that's why we say, hey, then we decide to pay down towards the end.
So Jovin, your first step is to build a habit first.
Correct. Mm. I think the first step is to, number one, build a habit and then integrate the habit into your life. That means like for us, right, we even integrate it with our family. When we bring our kids out, we actually bring them to build properties and then let them try out different playgrounds. Yeah, because you know every condo is very nice.
Okay,
you know,
he find it very torturous.
Yeah, like, at the start, condo viewing, correct.
So I'm quite crazy lah. I mean, so I really love property. So when I was younger, like you know, late 20s, early 30s, I was getting one full day of property. Wow, and I find achievement. Wow, I see 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, 3 at night. Right. Then one stretch. Wow, very efficient.
How old were you back then? Sorry again.
Late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
Yeah,
but she didn't involve me that then.
Yeah.
Also, you just go alone.
I go alone.
Yeah. Okay. Hobby lah. Don't need to
interrupt. Y'all don't have kids yet.
That time don't have.
Have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So after that, when we were quite serious, I had to bring him along, because I realized that you cannot make a decision by yourself. Correct. It's a partnership. Your spouse will come with you. Correct. So I went with him and realized, wow, I must turn down the tempo drastically. Yeah. But after one viewing, he got very tired. Yeah. So he said must bring the kids along. So we'll plan like morning, we do viewing, then afternoon we'll play around the area.
Right.
And then some condos, the swimming pool is very good. And then and then the playground. Right? So the kids will like it. Like, after that means...
Right in between.
Waiting for the viewing. Yeah. So it does help with a bit of planning your daily routine around the property planning.
Right. So going back to the scenario, right? How would you plan for this family?
How would I plan?
300,000.
Okay. First thing, I think they need to look at their... And how old? 50 plus? You're in your...
Yeah, maybe like... Is it too late to...
Yeah,
to
I feel it's too late.
You feel it's too late. Okay.
I mean, it really depends on what's the profile. I mean, some people, they want to retire at 65. Mm. Then it's a bit stretch. Okay, so I have a friend that wants to do it. Let's assume that he wants the property. He's 50 and he willing to work on that amount of years, etc. So I have a friend who's like that. I think the first thing this hypothetical my friend should do will be look at his finances first. Then cut out all the unnecessary ones. Yeah, like, does his kid really need to go for ballet class? If the kid doesn't like ballet, why is he doing it for? Is it because all his friends doing it? Okay, so if let's say it can be cut, then cut. Yeah. But I'm a very objective person. So this one might be quite difficult for people who are more emotional and they feel that I spend a lot of money. But that's a topic for some course, economics.
Right.
Yeah. Then look at your car. You work from home, so you need car for what? Yeah. You show off?
Right.
Don't need, then sell. No, property price very high. Car price also very high. I think you make money, you know.
Right.
So must look at it objectively, you know. Everything is objectively.
Not because you want to post on Facebook.
Yeah. Right. Or because when your friend meet you for once in a year, you can say, yeah, I need car park coupon. Then other things like why do you need to go Australia for expensive holiday 20,000? Europe 20,000 for what? Because you want to post on Instagram again? Yeah. So I think this one you need to look at that first. Yeah. Then second thing is
I think I start with the IPA.
Oh, IPA. Yes. Yeah, do your IPA. Oh, I got one friend very cute. He sold his house first. then start planning. Start planning what house that he wants.
Oh my goodness.
I got shocked, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Then I'm like, no, you must think of multiple steps ahead.
Correct.
Before you sell, right, you must think what is the condo you want to look for already. I mean, I think I'm a bit crazy. Like, I will look for renter, but I think no need to be the extent. But at least you must know what is your first few steps. What is the rule and regulation? So my friends, he saw that I sold my house at 1.2. Then he also, wow, FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. So he also sold. Then after that, I tell
also
him.
Also at Dawson?
No, somewhere else.
Okay.
Then after that.
Well, without a plan. Sold without a plan.
Yeah.
Yes. Then I said,
why is that so? Is it because like there's some fear?
I think he got caught up in the emotions. He just sold.
Like, quite in mind, quite in mind.
Yeah.
Because he feels that since you're able to sell at a high price, right, he also can, you know, be in
those
that
agent
wave.
Agent not so good one, go and chok him.
Then they say that you can sell very high, but they never do the planning or the subsequent steps also.
Have you bought already?
I don't know. I need to ask him. But I think he...
Because at the time that... the time difference is actually the losing period.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because the private property market move faster than usually.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
You should never time the market in this manner. Okay.
Yeah.
So back to the topic. So
he should do IPA first.
Okay.
So he did. Then I asked him, have you done an IPA? Then he asked me, what is IPA?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
You don't know what is IPA? Then because his uncle at 50 years old, okay, I mean, I'm not very young, but anyway, 50 plus. Then he's like, my time doing IPA. Then I said, yeah lah. Last time, now it's different. Last time typewriter, now it's computer. So I say you should go into IPA. But lucky he earns a lot. So it's not so bad.
Okay.
But I think that's a very crucial step.
Yeah.
Don't know what's IPA.
So he
don't know what is TDSR. He don't know that. Because last time, I think our era, right? I think
no
the,
TDSR.
No TDSR. Yeah, no TDSR. You just get 10%, the bank will just spend you.
The all the banks are not linked. Yeah, they're not linked towards the same information. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because once TDS are implemented,
yeah,
all banks share the same information with MES.
Oh.
Yeah. So in order to check your credit, your liability and all that. Yeah. That was how TDSR was implemented.
I see.
Yeah. 2013. Yeah. Because TDSR was implemented, that's why all the condominiums created after 2013
smaller.
Became smaller.
Oh, makes sense.
So
now
all developers structure the size to suit the budget. Because last time before TDSR, actually, the PSF was quite high. The apartments were huge.
Yeah,
so we always shared there was this transition era in Bishan. Bishan MRT, two projects built by CapitaLand. One is Sky Habitat,
Yes.
Huge
yes.
apartments. One yes. bedder is already 800 square feet.
Skyview.
Then Skyview is after TDSR.
Oh, in the same year?
No, it's like that difference with 2013 in between.
Oh.
So one was big, one was the current size now.
I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah,
so a lot of people, that. Sky Habitat, it took them a lot of years to see yeah. profit
oh.
because the sizes was huge. Mm. But Skyview, they see profit very quickly.
Mm.
Yeah. So that was after the transition stage after TDSR. So back to your friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was very shocked. Like, yeah. And then I asked him, you sell your HDB, do you think of where your next part will be?
Mm.
His answer was, which I think is a very classic response for a lot of people. No? I sell first, then I think. Lah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So he sell already.
Move back with parents.
Oh, he's those era one that you can buy HDB and have condo. So he still have condo.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he's still lucky in a sense, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, he's lucky that he bought during that
But then time. He need to pay ABSD.
No, then he decoupled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But I feel that they could, I mean, for his case, not too bad because he earned a lot.
Mm.
He earned like 300,000 or whatever. Mm. Then his condo, like, those era so cheap.
Okay.
Mm. Then, what else? Something forgot to say. But anyway, yeah, his
was
case
it because
not so
he feared that HDB prices will come down? Or?
Oh, I think he feel missing out. He see I buy two condo, then he also want to
buy. Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
So
okay.
I think quite a lot of people are like that. So, but I think his case still okay because all the factors are light for him. Mm. But if he's so unlucky that, you know, his borderline case, 150,000, mm. and then
he'll be left with one property.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Then he sell. Then he like, I cannot buy. Then,
yeah, cannot buy already.
And then I regret. You know, it's like, yeah. Mm, yeah. Right. But for his case, not too bad. But for other people, then they have to think carefully.
Mm. So I think there's a very interesting point, Joanna and Jervin, is that because I realize that you fully pay your HDB.
Yes.
There's another route that people can take is that you bite the bullet, keep your HDB, rent out the whole place, then buy a private property, pay ABSD, but you can still take a full loan, 75%. Mm. And of course, some people take that route.
Mm.
Yeah. They use the rental, use that rental to build the ABSD they have paid, and probably you will need about 6 years to cover the whole ABSD amount.
Mm.
So would you have went to that route on hindsight, and what are the pros and cons? So you build 200 properties in Geylang?
No lah,
150. Sorry, wrong number. 150
whole Singapore, over a period of 5 years.
Whole Singapore you build 150, you have 150
buildings.
Yeah,
see? You have 100 buildings.
Yeah,
is it still recording? Yeah. 150
viewing.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, nowadays, the Lusha property, the production is better than Julia Corp. You know, that's one.
Yeah,
I think that one is quite obvious that he's saying about you. Yeah. All right.